The terrible, terrible story coming out of Pakistan, where we see at least a third of the country underwater, many, many millions of people having lost their lives. We're seeing a drought in China. We're seeing high temperatures in Europe over the course of this summer. What on earth is going on in the world? Simon Gehr, climatologist and a national authority on global warming. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
No, good morning. No, very well, thanks. Nice to be on again.
It's nice to chat to you. This story in Pakistan, it's absolutely heartbreaking. Was this expected?
So this is very much the wet season for them. They have monsoon rain, and although sort of in the general lexicon, monsoon, you know, people understand to mean heavy rain, it actually means seasonal rain, and specifically winds that switch around 180 degrees, you know, between a dry and a wet season. And it's caused by systems moving north and south with the season. So they've, it's been a combination of that monsoon period, plus we're in a La Nina period as well, which affects sea surface temperatures in the ocean to the south of Pakistan. And a combination of those things has resulted in this. I mean, we keep on saying once in a lifetime monsoon.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
once in a lifetime
this,
event, but
this is the worry.
10 years ago, so we're definitely in a new reality.
So, and is the country? Is I mean, did they should they have anticipated something more? You know, almost the conversation that we had round about KwaZulu-Natal. Is it about the amount of rain, or is it about infrastructure, or is it a combination of both?
It's a combination of the changing climate, and so these extreme rainfall events are going to become progressively more common, as we are seeing. I mean, that's not even a prediction any longer. And then probably increased population. So, you know, if this sort of thing had happened 500 years ago, it wouldn't have impacted as many people as it's impacting now. People are a lot less mobile than they used to be in centuries past. So, you know, you really are beholden to a particular piece of land, and if that gets flooded and you lose your crop for the season, you know, you are in trouble. So it's a combination of both social factors and environmental factors.
What are we seeing in terms of floods there, drought in China? Or, I mean, the list for 2022 is extensive. Is this all a reflection of global warming, and or climate change? Are there people that are still arguing that this is just an hysterical left, concoction?
Well, I mean, there are people who argue that, but then none of the scientists are arguing that, and I don't really care what other people are arguing, unless you've got a really, really good data and analysis to back up your argument, in which case we'll give you the Nobel Prize quite happily. But the scientists are unified that this is absolutely a warming climate. And these are the sort of events that we can expect as a result of it.
So what should countries be doing? What should we be doing in South Africa now, knowing that these, as we keep saying, these once in a lifetime events might be happening every couple of years? We could well be, and we have been, a recipient of one of them in KwaZulu-Natal, but something could happen anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it changes all sorts of things, you know. So when you build a bridge, you have to be beholden to certain floodlines that are generally given in years. So, you know, a 50-year event or a 100-year event.
Interesting.
And those are all shifting down. So what used to be a 50-year event is now maybe a decadal event. And what used to be a century event, a 100-year event, is now two or three times a generation. So it changes engineering standards. It definitely means that we need to be far more aware of protecting the resilience of not only our communities, but our ecosystems as well.
Right.
And basically it means we have to be far more conservative in all our planning, both in terms of what natural resources we use, but also, you know, in the way that we organize our communities.
It really does place an incredible financial strain, because if you're going to now say, well, for every bridge that we build, that it has to be resilient enough. I mean, obviously, you might do a calculation saying, well, it's a small bridge, there's not a lot of traffic. If this gets washed away in 10 years' time, so be it. But something else, it really does add an incredible amount of strain financially to how we plan anything, really.
Yeah, so I mean, essentially, that's a good. So let's take that example of a small bridge that you expect to last for 10 years.
Mm.
So, well, actually, I mean, no one. Let's say 50 years.
You're right.
It's probably
exactly.
More realistic.
Yeah.
But that 50-year event that you would have designed that bridge to withstand back in the 60s is now happening every 10 years. You know, and so it basically means increased engineering at every level. Now, obviously, we should be building things to last anyway, but it is essentially it injects a conservatism into everything that we do or should, and that is, you know, That's where we really do feel the impact. And then, of course, in reaction to it, I mean, it's a massive GDP hit every time one of these sort of things happens.
Right. Well, that was going to be my question is are we actually, I mean, you're involved with it on this on a number of levels, I would imagine. Are you seeing an acceptance, let's say, from people responsible for planning, for government, to a level of acceptance that there needs to be a shift in how we plan given the new realities of climate?
Yes and no. I think we plan around the new realities of climate. We don't plan around the causes of them. So one of the things I do is do climate change analysis, you know, when people want to build a new coal mine. And invariably, I put in a report saying, well, the amount of coal we're going to dig out of the ground here is going to have a measurable impact on the country's climate footprint and on our obligations, our international obligations in terms of keeping that carbon footprint down. There's maybe been one instance of a coal mine not going ahead, you know, based partly on that sort of calculation. But generally, people are pragmatic and quite short-termist and recognize that things like jobs and power requirements will always trump those sort of more long-term concerns.
Not an easy area to try and balance. Simon Gear, climatologist, National Authority on Global Warming and Green Issues.